$5 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like.
All right, Day, I'm running a little late. I'm getting you on air now. Hold on.
Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A., and today is Wednesday, February the 28th, 2018. It is a wise Wednesday, and we will have Brother and Sister Davis will be coming on today and giving you a great show. Make sure you have your pen and paper and ready for your questions and comments for the Wise Wednesday with Brother and Sister Davis. They will be chiming in relatively shortly. And so, but before we do that, everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network so that we can have the programs that you listen to daily here on Black Talk Radio Network. You could easily do that by making a donation to Black Talk Radio Network, or you can become a member within its social media network known as BTR Community. and that is where you can post all the you can engage in all of your social media activities without being as adversely affected. It's a membership, so no one will be data mining you per se, and definitely no one will be selling your identity to any bidder as they do on the other sites. So come on over to BTR Community for $24. That's $24 a year, $24 a year to be a part of the overall social media network known as BTR Community, which supports this network and keeps the network on air. So definitely want you to do that. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, you could do that by going to Prosperity Mint, exchanging your cash for real money. Also, I'm going to be reaching out to some of you all some on some other opportunities through the silver and gold space, cryptocurrency space, and real estate space. Very, very, very important. I have a seminar this weekend, and that seminar, I have to do it this weekend. We'll be meeting with some of our we really have clients from all over, from some of our international clients here in Dallas for some of our seminars with some of my partners that we put on. We'll be doing that, and I'm not quite sure it's going to be this weekend, and I have to meet with some clients, so I may not be able to do Friday's show, but we will definitely have a show tomorrow. We'll let you know in the posting tomorrow, because I have a lot of clients coming in. Some are coming in from some international clients, and so it's just a time in which is easier for me to meet with them, take a look at different things, and plan some things out with them. So we'll be doing that. So, and some great opportunities I want to share with you all, as well as we continue to diversify our portfolios and strengthen ourselves. And this one will be a income generating, passive income generating opportunities through actually real estate, where you can, there's just so many great programs. And I'll just say to you that, you know, you've heard of bailouts, where they bailed out the bank. Well, did you know as a regular person that you were entitled to some of that if you know how to correctly apply for it? Yes, TARP, Trouble Asset Repayment Program, could be something that you can engage in. So we'll be bringing that to you all. Very, very important, and it's a great opportunity, especially as we start to structure ourselves for what's going to be happening economically, geopolitically, as I think we are moving. I'm waiting for any moment the next major theatrical false flag to set the next set of events in place that is unfolding, what a lot of things have been moving towards. It's on the horizon. So my dog looks really, really sad today. What's the matter there, big man? So, all right, so enough of that. So definitely if you would like to acquire real money, then go to Prosperity Mint, and you can exchange your currency for real money. And just email info@prosperitymint.com. Let them know you're a new customer. Mr. Patterson, if you would, you know who you are. If you would just email a telephone number so I can give you a call about Prosperity Mint and help you. It is not a sales pitch or anything else, but there's some things that you need to know in the proper way in acquiring the precious metals. And I will definitely do that if you, Mr. Patterson, will email back with a telephone.
Oh, Dave, we cannot hear you. I heard a click and then you went out. So I'm unable to hear you. Dave, you there? All right, let me text Dave and let him know we can't hear him. He probably needs to call back in. This is Scotty, the station manager. Hold on while I try to get this issue resolved. We'll be right back on the other side. Uh.
Okay, I'm back, Scotty. Sorry about that, everyone. I don't know what happened. My phone is tripping off. It got kicked off. I don't know where I last was. Scotty, thanks for sending that text out to me real quick, and I got it. And so, okay, everyone, so I'm just going to pick up. I'm not quite sure where I got knocked off. So was just going to go over what's in the news. But before I do that, I just want to say once again thanks to my man Roz, to Thomas out of NYC, and to my man L.A. Ramon for posting inside of Tando Radio Show's inside of BTR Network, BTR Community, Tando Radio Show's page for all of the postings that you guys, you had a lot of great stuff, greatly, greatly appreciated for the postings of the past and today and the ones that you'll be giving in the future. Really, really do appreciate that. All right, so let's jump into what's in the news. First article that I posted from Waking Times, cancer busting the myths, more natural cancer treatments. Natural cancer treatments abound if you care to look hard enough. It just goes to show that nature has provided us with all of the answers. I always like to say for every disease that man has created, the great creator has a herb to cure it. So check out that article. Next article, I got this one from Cointelegraph. J.P. Morgan Chase sees cryptocurrency as competition and risk to its business in the SEC annual report. Check out that article that's there, all the setup. Next article, I got this one from Wall Street Journal. The sporting goods store Dickies. Dickies Sporting Goods Store stopped selling assault-style weapons, raising the age for gun buyers. So that is what's happening at Dickie Sporting Goods. Says it will stop selling assault-style rifles at all of its stores. And so there's all the whole setup is coming to into place. So I'd like to know what is a assault weapon? Any weapon pointed at you is an assault weapon. So okay. Check out that article. Next article, this one comes from nextgov.io. Nextgov.com. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Assault weapons.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Any weapon that I'm going to assault you with is an assault weapon. Come on, man.
Right.
I tell you, man, this goes to show how the media really does control people's minds, because I've been listening to different radio on and off, today, and people talking about, why do we need assault weapons? Why do we need assault weapons? And I'm saying to myself, you don't even know what assault weapon is. When I hear people talk about the same weapons they got on the battlefield as what we got in the streets. No, it's not. It's different weapons. There are no legal automatic weapons being sold. Okay. It's one trigger pull, one bullet, one trigger pull, one shot. That's what you got, all right? In the military, the M16, you can pull the trigger one time for a 3-round burst or you can set it to fully automatic. That is not what our AR-15 does. And so I'm like, what are these people's definition of assault weapon? Does it have to be long? Does it have to be a certain color? Do it got to be black? Do we got to look all anonymous and whatnot? And so, I mean, I'm like, we need to be careful here. Because the next thing you know, they'll be talking about 22 tubular loaded rifles. Like, what I got is an assault weapon. It's just a squirrel shooter, you know, but I can still put 15 rounds. It don't have a magazine. It has a tubular magazine where I put all the, I think, 18 bullets in that magazine that's attached to the barrel. I'm like, man, people don't, they just saying stuff and they don't even know what they're talking about because they so bought into the hysteria that's at. And I'm not saying the hysteria isn't correct. Whenever you get a bunch of people murdered like that, but come on, you saying assault weapon, what's an assault weapon? You don't even know what assault weapon is. You just think you know what assault weapon look like. I'm sorry, I ain't mean to go on
that. No, Scotty, because that was exactly my point. That's exactly it. Any weapon that's pointed at you in defense or any weapon that is pointed at you from an aggressive standpoint, let me pull a BB gun. You in the eye, guess what? You don't make it from that one. That was an assault weapon. It's and the overall, most, like you said, Scotty, most people that are commenting on this stuff have no clue at all what it is and how it really works and what it was because the battlefield weaponry is not just an AR. Most people think that AR stands for automatic rifle. That's not what AR-15 stands for. AR is the abbreviation for the gun manufacturer. Armored steel rifles. That's what it is. And the battlefield weaponry is not just an AR. It is a, depending on, you know, from when I was in, there's a machine gun, a saw weapon, M60, a machine gun, a saw weapon, a grenade launchers, tow missiles, it's mortars, it's all types of weaponry. It's huge. It's grenades. It's everything else. It's not battlefield. Nowhere near battlefield. And it doesn't matter. Every weapon can be used on the battlefield because every weapon in the overall banker's war or the system's war of combat, they use everything, absolutely everything. And it doesn't matter trying to curtail this now. The overall weapons have already been disseminated throughout the whole country. You can't if someone decides to use anything, a car, a plane, a match, if they decide to use it in a criminal act, they're going to do it. They are going to do it. The reason why is this, is that they want the general population to always obey because they got something in store for you. And it doesn't matter if you have the overall weapons that they're going to be saying that you need to be giving up or not. They still have the ability to supersede those weapons. But what they want you to do is that they want to make it as easy and as plausible, and as pliable as possible to get you to continue to obey. And many of us are foolishly, and I say foolishly, and I'm going to tell you why foolishly. For those of you that call for removing the weaponry, I'm in full agreement that we need gun control. I'm in full agreement with that. But you can never get to gun control until you first deal with the underlying culture of violence that has been established. And that culture of violence has been established by the very individuals that you will be asking to enforce that. How foolish you are. How are they going to enforce gun regulations at the other end of a barrel of a gun? And then what happens from there is that they take that area, and then guess what? They're going to look at you for what they want next.
Hey, so, Dave, it's funny you mentioned culture of violence, because I was just on Periscope, and I was watching this news broadcast of Donald Trump sitting there at a table with some other people, other politicians discussing, you know, gun legislation and all of that. And to be honest with you, dude was talking like a sensible person on this issue. He wasn't in his emotions. He was totally cool, calm, and collective. And that's one of the things that he mentioned. I mean, I was shocked that he was speaking with such logic. But one of the things he mentioned is dealing with this culture of violence and, you know, the underlying culture. And he didn't go all into it, but I mean, who can you're speaking truth when you say, hey, you're gonna address the gun, but you're not gonna address the mechanism that creates the mindset that would commit such heinous acts? I mean, it makes no sense.
None whatsoever. None whatsoever. And we're going to do a show, because we got to do a prepping show, definitely, about this. And I want to get to it, because I know Sister Davis and Brother Davis is there. So let me get to finish a couple of things and what's in the news, some major things. Let me just touch on one that L.A. Ramon posted, and it was from Disclosure.tv. It showed a chemtrail being shot down. It was the first time I ever seen that, and it was a year ago or so, but it was still relevant. It was shot down in China. Great, great article, L.A. Ramon. And then Roz posted a couple of good ones, and it definitely is going to play into ours. And I'm going to say this one. It was two. A Bloomberg article about Kushner loan details. Regulators see Kushner's loan details from Deutsche Bank. Y'all is about the blow. And then there was Germany admits Russia hacking infiltrated the foreign defense ministries. So that's coming up. And then Thomas posted something very, very important from out of NYC. Nanotechnology, man. Nanotechnology is crazy. So there's a lot of good stuff that was posted there, what's in the news. And then I'm going to leave one more. It was out of Twitter. This is what celebrity figurehead Donald Trump said. And I said, laugh out loud, know where this ends up. It says, watch President Trump. And it said, President Trump says, I like to take the guns early. Taking the guns first, then go through due process second. And he was rebuffing the celebrity figurehead Vice President Pence in the meeting. It's all a setup, y'all, a complete setup. So with that being said, everyone, we got Wise Wednesday with Brother and Sister Davis coming on. Brother and Sister, well, I know Sister Davis is there, ready to go. So, Scotty said, I'm confused. How do you shoot down a chemical trail in the sky? What it was a plane that was actually giving the chemtrails off, and it was actually shot down inside of China. And basically, and you would be surprised at who shot it, was what the article said is shot down. L.A. Ramon posted that inside of our thread. Scotty, check it out. You can see the plane, and look how nasty the overall area is. Big ups to L.A. Ramon for that posting. So check out that one. So, hey, without further ado, I want to turn it over to Brother and Sister Davis for Wise Wednesday. I know Sister Davis is there. Brother Davis, if you are there, you can unmute yourself. I think that's Brother Davis there, but I know Sister Davis is there. Sister Davis?
Yes, I have him. We merged the calls. Richard,
it's always good to hear the voice of a friend.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Wise Wednesdays with Team Davis. Brother and Sister Davis is here, so make sure if you have any questions, give them a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. I'll be on the board, Brother and Sister Davis, so we have a caller on the board. I'll let you know.
Excellent, excellent. Look, thank you for everybody who's sitting in tonight. We are going to put some of the pieces in the puzzle. What do I mean? I mean, we are going to take some of the pieces that we've already given lesson on our show, and we're going to start applying this so that we can bring the whole into view. Now, this will not take one show, but when you start putting the avenues of information that we have given you in alignment with what we're about to tell you tonight, you're going to see how you are literally restructuring your thought process to be able to focus on your true potential instead of the programs that we've been running through. So I'm going to my wife first, because literally she's going to give you key ingredients about food. And then I'm going to take you into the level of once this food applied, after she gives you an understanding of how the body consumes it and so forth, I'm going to take you to the level in which it's disseminated and the purpose is behind it. So back to you, Ms. Davis.
Good evening, Tando family. And, yes, we're a tag team today. However, we are in separate locations. So if he gets disconnected or I get disconnected, we'll call right back. We hope that everything is going to be fine with the connection, but he was not able to get here back home in time, so we didn't want to not go on the air. So I do want to mention that there is a beautiful full moon tonight. I guess all the elements are coming together. I could tell just by being out and shopping and different things I had to do that, and, you know, everybody's on high alert. You know, when that full moon comes around, a lot of people look at it as something negative. Oh, everybody's crazy and all that. People are crazy, but that's not always the reason. But there is a lot of energy with the moon. The moon does create energy. It bestows energy. It moves energy, such as the water. You know, the moon does have a force within itself. And it does counteract a little bit. You know, I'm not going to say it's a crazy thing. It's a natural thing. People, well, if they never can, you know, if they don't have a word for it, they call everything crazy. They put it all in the same category. But the moon is very beautiful tonight. If you get a chance to go out and gaze and just kind of meditate on that a little bit, it'd be beneficial. And I do want to, we tend to talk a lot about food. Not because we're always hungry, but we talk about a lot of food because one thing, you can't live without it. And, well, some people do live without it. Let me take that back. There is a group of people called breatharians. Right, Mr. Davis? They're called breatharians.
Absolutely.
And they don't eat. They don't eat substance. They use the air, the molecules, the minerals, and things that come through the air. Now, that takes years of practice. That's nothing that anybody can jump into, and I don't know anybody personally, well, we don't know anybody personally that is a breatharian, but they do sustain life without food by breathing. Am I correct, Mr. Davis?
Absolutely, and they must live at higher altitudes, too. That way they have less toxins that they breathe into a system that's used to actually processing purified air. Okay, Ms. Davis, thank you.
Yeah, but if anybody would like to look that up and just kind of research it for yourself, they are called breatharians. But I do, we do need to concentrate on food, because even Brother Dave yesterday was talking about food and how toxic it is. And, you know, we're not just saying it for the benefit of the show. We're saying it because we have to keep saying it and seeing it for our own life, because it is very difficult to keep that vision, to keep that focus, to eat only good things and not bad things, and things sneak in, and, you know, you go back to the habits and the way you were brought up, and, you know, the holidays, and so it's a constant thing you have to do every day. You have to stay focused. Like for us, sometimes what we do is, one of the things, especially with my husband when he's driving, we try to do the snacks, like the nuts, and put them in like a Ziploc bag, and like we'll take nuts and dried fruit, and, you know, we pre-do that, because if you don't do that, if you don't have the right snack around you, that's when you end up stopping somewhere and eating the wrong thing. I mean, we're just people. We're not perfect. So, you know, we try to think about where we're going, think about what we're doing, and we put the snacks and the meals. We try to do a menu. Like I'll say, well, honey, what do you want to eat? You know, bean soup or veggie burgers, or, you know, we try to put that out there, because when you plan a meal, then the focus has been planned. And it's a little bit easier to jump right in there and not make detours. Just like when you're traveling across the country, if you do a road map, it will take you where you want to go. One thing my husband notices sometimes with the GPS, because, you know, he uses it all the time, sometimes the GPS will detour him off the highway into areas that have food, different restaurants, different grocery stores, different shopping centers. And he's like, no, I don't want to go there, you know. So sometimes it's already built into the mechanic to take you past places that you don't even want to go, you know, because they figure, oh, you're always going to eat something, you're always going to drink something, and you're always going to buy something. So they take you off the beaten path, even as a truck, you know, a tractor trailer, which, of course, their GPSs are a little different, because you just can't go on any street and go anywhere. But they still manage to put that in there. Am I right, dear?
Absolutely. And one of the most important things you have to understand is the balance. When you eat something that is not really food, it doesn't have the nutrition that food has. It may have a great taste. It may have a great aroma, but it doesn't have nutrition. So when you eat it, when you think you're eating something that's going to give you balance, it's really taken away from you because your system has to work harder to process something it doesn't identify than it would if you ate raisins or dried fruit, because right away it knows what that is. It's starting to process it into nutrients and sending it to different parts of your body so it can be used immediately.
Now, I want to share something with you that our daughter shared with us earlier today. I got a text, and she said, oh, Mom, you know, you got to pray. And I'm like, oh, goodness, what's going on? She said one of her best friends that we grew up, that she grew up together, and we knew, you know, we know the parents, the grandparents, we know the whole family. She said her girlfriend's youngest son, he's about 15, 16 years old. He was at school, and he fainted. He fell out, and he was unresponsive. You know, and I'm reading this text, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know, fell out at school, and he's unresponsive. They called the ambulance. They took him to the hospital. By the time he got to the hospital, his mother was there. After a little bit, maybe 20, 30 minutes, he did wake up out of the unresponsiveness that he was in. But, of course, you know, he wakes up and everybody's, you know, leaning over him like, what is wrong with this young man who's generally healthy, family's generally healthy. And come to find out after running different tests, because after he woke up, one of the things that they noticed is that he could not move. He could open his eyes and he could talk, you know, verbal stuff that he could say, not really full sentences, but he could not move his limbs. So they were all concerned. Of course, they started the MRI. They did all. To make a long story short, the young man is fine. He fell out because he was dehydrated. And when my daughter, you know, wrote us back and told us that was the situation, I said, I'm going to use that on this call tonight, because this is a young man who is, you know, the average 15, 16 year old. I already know his diet probably is off the chain with all kinds of salts, all kinds of sugars, all kinds of everything he's probably not supposed to eat, because the family is not the type of family that is holistic or anything like that. They're just the average family, which most people are the average family. And he probably has a high diet of soda, because when you think of somebody being dehydrated, you think of somebody that's crossing the Sahara Desert, you know, and doesn't have any containers of water. In your mind, that's generally when you think, well, that's the person that's dehydrated. No, he lives in a house with a mom and a dad and a refrigerator, and he probably has drank many things over the last couple of days, but it wasn't what his body truly needed. His body needed water. Now, even though you drink soda, you think, well, I'm drinking, it's fluid, I'm putting it up to my mouth, and it's going in and going down in my body. That does not suffice the natural organs that your body needs. And he might have said, well, you know, I ate this food, I might have ate some kind of soup, or it doesn't matter. If your body needs water, it needs water. Like, for example, you can't take a fish that you have in an aquarium and fill it up full of ginger ale and think that fish is going to swim through there, even though the ginger ale is fluid liquid. That fish cannot survive in that. And that's, you know, maybe the premise that you need to think about with your own body. Now, this young man, they probably spent a gazillion dollars today to realize that you need to go home and drink some water, because they did an MRI, they did all kind of blood studies, they did, all, you know, they did cultures, because they didn't know what was wrong. We're in the midst of flu season, so of course they thought, you know, maybe, you know, that he had the flu, you know, because some of these flu symptoms don't have the normal flu symptoms. Some people might have a cough, and some kids don't even have a cough, and they say they die of the flu. I'm speculative on some of that, but that's what they say. But, you know, so, of course, they you know, of course, when you come through the emergency room through an ambulance, and it's a young man, and he is unresponsive, they didn't know if he needed to go to ICU in a coma or what. So it's just so simple that drinking water. And we're not talking flavored water, you know, Kool-Aid. We're not talking that. We're talking fresh, clean water, which leads us to the next topic that I want to talk about is digestion. Now, for example, on this call, now, of course, we can't raise our hand and see each other to answer a question, but I'm going to give you a little test. Where does digestion start? Does it start, A, in the intestines, B, in the stomach, which you think of, you know, the little sack on the side, you're actually, not your belly in the front, but your actual side underneath your rib cage, that stomach area, does digestion start there? Does digestion start in the mouth? Does it start in the eyes? Or does it start in the nose? Now, just meditate on that. Where does digestion start? Most people think, okay, it starts in the stomach. You know, you think, okay, you eat something, it's got to go through the stomach to get to the intestines. But actually, think about it for a minute. Digestion actually starts in the nose because you can smell food before you see food. And I'm not saying seafood like in the ocean. I'm saying physically looking at food. If you smell it, now let's just go back to your childhood. When you hit the step, and you know that it's Thursday and mama's going to probably have fried chicken or whatever, you smell that chicken before you even open up that screen door. You smell the chicken. Right then is where digestion is starting to take place, because after you smell it through your nose, your mouth is going to start to saliva. You know how you say, oh, my mouth is watering for that fried chicken or that fried fish. You know, you say your mouth is watering. Well, when that watering starts in your mouth, those enzymes of digestion is starting to all, you know, collaborate together so that they can go down into the stomach to start the acids and the process that it needs to digest. So once the food, you know, once you go into the kitchen and your eyes now see this fried chicken all nicely brown and crispy, and then, you know, you're smelling it, your mouth is watering, you sit down to the table, and then you start eating. And now, but the digestion has actually started maybe 10 minutes ago when you hit the door and you smelled the food. Now, what would you say about that, Mr. Davis? Has that ever happened to you?
Absolutely, because I live in your kitchen. I understand the importance of how your food, a part of the attraction of fulfilling the taste, is smelling it. And the best part about preparing for a dinner is the aromas of it cooking. One of the unique things that I think you're pointing out that people ought to understand is this, that it is not as basic as it seems. Most may have thought, well, it starts in your stomach, and literally, that is part of the process. But no, that's not where it starts. And knowing your body, which comes back to knowing yourself, knowing your body is key to understanding how to give the body exactly what it needs to keep you at maximum efficiency. Thank you very much, my dear.
Now here comes the 52 fake out or the okie doke. The 52 fake out is now that your nose didn't smell it, your eyes didn't see it, your mouth's starting to water, and your stomach is starting to grumble. You go ahead and eat this food, and then you're putting it in your mouth, and you're putting it in your system, and guess what? It's not even food. It is something that's been created out of, who knows? You know, now they're creating vegetables that are from a piece, something that looks like plastic. You know, you can see there's YouTube videos that show it, especially the Asians. They are not using actual vegetables in some of their dishes. They are creating it with plastic, and they're molding it, and it's like plastic fruit. It's not actually real. That's one way that we're being a 52 fake out. Another 52 fake out is the actual DNA of the fruits and vegetables, and some of the meats are not actual DNA molecules that add up to be the fruit or vegetable that it's you think has been created. That's where the Monsantos and, you know, those demon seeds and all of that forte comes in. So when your body puts, so when you put that in your body, and heaven forbid if it's a process something or other, like something that comes out of a box, like Hamburger Helper or anything that's in a box, anything that's sitting in a box, that's sitting in a cupboard, has some type of preservatives in it so it can sit there. It's been went through a process. And when we say process, that means it went through some kind of manufacturing machine that, you know, created paper, it created a box to put the information, you know, the food into. I'm going to pick on Hamburger Helper because everybody has had Hamburger Helper at some time. But they take the seasonings and they put all the seasonings that are processed into a little envelope, and they take the macaroni that's been processed and they put that in the box along with a gazillion different preservatives so that that stuff that's in that box will last. Now, of course, nowadays they have to put expiration dates on it. So that's what they do. They stamp a little expiration date on it to give you the idea that it's fresh until the it wasn't fresh when it went in the box, let alone going through the expiration date. It wasn't real when it went into the box. It really could last forever. But if they say forever, you really ain't going to eat it. But it could really actually last forever. And when you put that in your system, your body says, okay, what is this in here? Do I process it over here? Does it need to go over there? I don't know what it is. But you, since your nose is smelling it and your eyes are looking at it and you think it should be doing something positive, it's the 52 fake out. It's really not doing anything positive. So it goes into your stomach. Your stomach uses its acids to break it down, whichever which way it thinks it needs to be. You know, pick a number because it doesn't really know. Then it goes into the intestinal tract, small intestines, and then into the large intestines, and then it gets expelled out. Now, once it goes through these this next process, it's looking, the digestive system is looking for minerals, vitamins and minerals to pick up to help the body function. It's looking to absorb these things. Well, it has this artificial thing passing through it. It's like, I don't know what this is. It doesn't have the molecules of sodium. It doesn't have the molecules of magnesium. It doesn't have the vitamin A. It doesn't have the vitamin D. It says, I don't know what this is. So we're just going to pass it right along. But as it does that, it's doing damage because your body thinks it should absorb something. And since it isn't what it needs to absorb, it doesn't know what to do with it. Now, if you did it every so often, the body would say, okay, I could work with that. But when you do it day after day after day after day, now you might throw something all natural in there every so often, but your body starts to get run down, and it can only take so much, just like that young man today. Now, he obviously, he went to school that morning. He woke up, went to school that morning, but by the time he sat in a chair and his body needed to function, his arms needed to move, his legs needed to move, there was nothing in his body that was nourishing enough to keep him going. It's like the car without gasoline. And that is what's happening when we do the wrong, when we make the wrong choices. Now, it's very difficult to make the right choices because Big Pharma has its hand on in it. You know, the government has the other hand in on it. You know, you think you're getting flesh, cow, you know, meat, chicken, poultry, fish. You think you're getting things that have been eating good food also, because just like we're living creatures, they're living creatures. If we're eating garbage, they're feeding them garbage, and then we're eating their meat that's garbage. So then some people say, well, you know, I eat vegetables. I go to the market and I buy vegetables, and the vegetables are nice and green. I have a green pepper in my hand, and it's as green as it could be. I have some kale. I have some tomatoes. Okay, well, if they were grown in dirt that did not have the minerals in it, it will grow. They can make it turn green. As a matter of fact, I saw a video on, because once you start these videos about food, you'll be all day for a week in YouTube looking at these videos. And you can see how believable they are. You know, you can reference them. You can go into, you can see who does the video. You can reference it. You know, you don't have to take it because Erica said it, but you can go in there yourself and you can look at some of these videos that will take you through another video. By the end of the day, you'll go in your kitchen and you won't even know what to eat because you don't even know what is real and what is not. Because now what they're doing is they have special paint that they paint the vegetables with to make them greener and redder. They put stuff in the food, in the meat to make, because meat should start turning dark, like a darkish red into like a brown once air hits it after so long. So what do? They change, they put a certain kind of oxygen in it to make it turn from black back to red because you ain't going to buy black food. So you want it red, so they turn it back red. If that's not good enough, they paint it red. You know, you're so busy looking at the prices of food because now we got to look at the price because most of it we can't afford. So you look at the price of the food. You don't really look at the type of food you're eating or the quality. You get home, you're so quick to cook it and eat it that you really might pay attention. You might not. It's just a vicious circle. But believe me, if the minerals are not in the earth, you are not going to get quality food. Am I right, Mr. Davis?
Yes, and I want to add that we have to understand that our intuitive system, the internal body, already has a natural process. So it's expecting you to be responsible enough to be able on the outside, meaning the external side, to make choices that are most suitable to keep the body in balance. When that part of the system breaks down, and the food gets in the body, it overworks the body because the body in its natural process, in the intuitive system, it can only distinguish what it can identify. So if it can't identify, it's overworking the system, and then it has to place it. Place it means that whatever they draw out of it through the natural enzyme process, whatever it's drawn out of that, it's knowing it's not natural. So what does it do? It sticks it in a place where most of the time it doesn't have to worry about it, and that's in the fat cells. And in the fat cells over a period of time, depending on what it is, it festers and turns into something else. So it's important that you do your role in being the first line of defense and the first line of offense when it comes to food selection and whether it is real or not. And rule of thumb, if you don't know, let it go. Thank you, my dear.
Now, about the minerals, I just want everybody to understand that, you know, as you know, when we were growing up, you always saw commercials about cereal, and they'd say, you know, Total, especially Total, because they prided that Total had everything it needed. It has all the vitamins. It has all the minerals a body needs. Well, do you really know what minerals the body needs? Do you really know how much minerals the body needs? Does it need 1% of that? Does it need 2%? Most people don't have an idea of what the minerals are or how much you need to sustain your body because you believe what the commercial says or you read on the side of the box. And you think that that's giving you what you need, but that's just the basic of what you need. That's not, like, for example, gasoline. That's the regular gas. That's not the high test. That's not the premium. It's just the gas. And if you want to just go, you know, some cars will require better type of gas because it knows it has different gears and mechanisms that require a better kind of gas. Now, if you value your car, which most of us do, you will put that good gas, even though it costs, you know, 15 cents more a gallon, you will use your consciousness and say, hey, I'm going to get the good gas because I can't afford for my car to break down because then, you know, I got to get a ride to work and la, la, la. Well, guess what? We put better, just think about it, y'all. We put better gas in our cars than we do food in our system. And it's really sad, but you got to understand it like that, because once you start putting the parables together and weighing the odds, you'll have a much better understanding of what really that you're dealing with. And dealing with the minerals, once, now, if anybody, you know, Dave talks about gold and silver, and one thing he talks about gold and silver is that he said that the earth has created all the gold and silver it's ever going to create. There's not like a gold creator, you know, in the middle of the earth creating gold, you know. Now, diamonds and things could be pressed with, you know, how diamonds is a type of coal that's been pressed by the earth. That is a continuous cycle. But gold and silver, once it depletes, once we pull all the gold and silver out of the earth, there is none. There is no more. And I don't know, Dave, if you're on this call, you can jump in there, because he, you know, he knows all about the gold and silver. And once we deplete the earth of it, unless an asteroid hits us or a meteor that has gold in it, we're not going to get any more. That's how valuable it is. But guess what? A lot of the other minerals that are in the earth are just as valuable. We just put a value on gold and silver because somebody else said, hey, put the value on gold and silver. But really, the magnesium, all of the other minerals are really just as valuable, because guess what? Try living without them. You will die. Now, they don't want you to believe that, oh, it's just a little vitamin or it's just a little mineral that's going to keep you alive. But guess what? If they take it from you, or you are in an area where you just don't get enough, there are certain diseases that are based on certain mineral deficiencies and certain vitamin deficiencies. A lot of people think, oh, well, you know, in our family, you know, we have high blood pressure, we have these diseases, that diseases, based on because my mama had it and her mama had it, blah, blah, blah. No, a lot of times, it's based on the mineral deficiency that's in the area of the different generations that have lived in that certain area. And just think about it, you all. You all know that you all have family that all lives within maybe the Northeast or down South or out West. And everybody kind of has the same kind of condition. And you think it's hereditary because the doctors say it's hereditary. Well, just think about it. Maybe it's not hereditary through the blood vessels, but it's hereditary through the minerals that you are deficient in, or the way of eating, or the way of dieting, or the way of life skills, because it's the same life skill generation over generation. Now, for example, I know when, you know, back when you were learning about they came from different countries and ships and went to different islands and things like that, there's one disease called scurvy that a lot of the sailors would get, because and it would affect them, and some of them would die. They would slowly get sick. You know, it's a debilitating disease, and you just slowly get sick. And they couldn't understand why these people were getting sick and what was the situation. Well, what it was is that they were not getting vitamin C. They were not getting lemons, and they didn't have any oranges. They had no citrus. And that was the condition, the medical condition, based on the deficiency of the mineral that they were depleted in. Soon as they got in a situation where they could get these vitamins, the different fruits and vegetables that had what they needed, you know, it didn't take medicine. It just took a selection of making the right selection of fruits or vegetables. Now, in different parts of the country, different people are deficient in certain minerals. Now, in the Northeast, one of the things that a lot of people are deficient in is selenium in the Northeast, because it's been mined out. It's been mined out of the ground. It just doesn't exist much anymore. So when you eat a lot of vegetables from the Northeast, it's not in there, so it's not in your body. And then you get a lot of diseases based on that. And that's where a lot of the rheumatoid arthritis is, and a lot of the itises the itis is I-T-I-S. When you see a word that says like arthritis, rheumatoiditis, the itises are usually inflammation, diseases that are dealing with inflammation. They could crisscross back and forth, but basically it has something to do with muscles, bones, and when you live in different areas that it has been depleted, you get these diseases. Now, a lot of the doctors know that, especially a lot of the holistic doctors know that, because the first thing they tell you is they ask you where you live, what you do, and what you eat. Now, most people sit at the doctor's office and they say, well, you know, I don't know, I ate a hamburger, you know. But a lot of times, just based on geographical location, a lot of doctors, now doctors don't want to share it with you because they don't want you to be healthy, but holistic doctors or holistic practitioners, they tend to look at the whole body. Am I right, Mr. Davis?
You're absolutely right. And see, a lot of people don't realize that because of the transitions from the, so we say, the era of burning stoves to the era of gas stoves, we literally have taken a lot away from the soil, because when we would burn wood, as whether we were camping out or that was where our way of life in the pre-1900s, that wood, after it was burnt, restored the soil with minerals that was not available to it in a short process. What does that mean? That means that as the wood was burnt, the wood literally had the fusion burnt out of it. But what was left was residue that was absorbed by the ground, which restored the natural minerals into the soil. That process is gone. So since that is the case, that is one of the areas in which that soil would be able to receive a regular, consistent supply of burnt wood as a refuge to absorb natural nutrients from. So since that process is no longer there, that soil never gets those nutrients that it once got plentifully, because cooking by wood and campfires were a part of the way of life. So therefore, over a period of time, since we moved in-house and we have stoves now, that process has almost been eliminated in certain areas. So that's why certain minerals are no longer in the soil. And it's only one of the specific reasons. And the reason why I say it's only one is because there are many when you look in the realm of the evolution of the earth. But what we want to
Hey, Brother David.
Yes.
Real quick, we're coming up on the top of the hour. That's so, so true. And then the importance of Brother Davis and Sister Davis are really emphasizing, because we do need to change a lot of things. We are not restoring our soil. Hey, we got up on a commercial break. For those of you that would like to get in on the conversation, you have a question or comment with, for Brother or Sister Davis, give them a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And if we don't see you in queue, just say, excuse me, and then we'll hear you, and you can ask your question or your make your comment. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
And live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, welcome back. I wanted to give you this last caveat. The reason why your body requires so many minerals is because it has so much potential to operate for you in a manner which you don't understand, because literally it is a so-called intuitive operation. But when the minerals are missing, they're missing. There's no way of getting around it, and it's our responsibility to eat the right foods to restore as many as we can. Back to you, Ms. Davis.
What I would like to, you know, I'm just going to piggyback on, I'm not going to make this a conversation about Black Panther. I just want to put out a little point here that I saw in a movie. They did a wonderful display of the prince turning into a king. You know, they had the coronation and they had all the African nations were singing and dancing and all of that. And that was such a powerful, powerful presentation. But after that, I would have loved to see them sit down to a feast. How about it, Mr. Davis?
Absolutely, because that way you could have seen up front and personal the type of diets that they literally ate on a regular basis. Thank you.
Because I can imagine they would have had everything as green, as blue, as purple, you know, for the just the magnitude of the life-sustaining force that they had in Wakanda. I could just imagine if they could have just had one little peek of a sit-down buffet. Now, there is a point in the movie where I think his name was Baku, who was the other, he was the other force that was there, and they had like a little fight, and, you know, people who see the movie know what I'm talking about. But when they went to ask him to help with the situation that was at hand, for the people that didn't see the movie, I won't tell it all. But so they went and they presented themselves to them. And this particular African nation, they lived up in the mountains. And you could see them going through the mountains to get to where they were. You know, they were, you know, you didn't see them climbing the mountain, but you could see that they were going up in elevation and it was snowing up there. And you could see the difference of the, you know, because you went from the tropics of the African nation where they were up into the mountains. And, you know, they had this little discussion, you know, and it was just really funny because this particular African nation, they considered themselves, I guess, gorillas or apes. You know, that was their foundation. So there was just this one little point where, you know, the African king there, that his tribe, the king of the tribe, he got a little angry at one of the people that made a comment, and he said, "I ought to feed you to my children." And everybody got all kind of like, "Wow, what's going on?" You know, like, because, you know, it was a powerful African nation, and you could see the images of the gorillas or the apes. You could see these images, and so it was just too funny because when he said, "I ought to feed you to my children," and then he just sat on his throne and he just kind of covered his mouth and he had this serious chuckle and he just kind of laughed and everybody's looking like what's going on, and he says, "Oh, ha ha ha, we're vegetarians." And me and my husband, we just looked at each other because we know that the most powerful beast in the jungle is an ape or a gorilla. And they are totally vegetarian. Now, Hollywood would have you believe that they eat people, you know, because, you know, King Kong and different things. But if you really understand, you know, that's just the way Hollywood portrays it. But, you know, now, I'm not going to say an ape ain't going to tear something apart. Now, you mess with its children, you know, if you mess with its offspring or you're within their territory, yes, they probably would take a human and tear them apart. But you ain't never seen them eating the legs and the arms because they don't eat flesh. They are vegetarian, so they will eat leaves. That might take a whole lot of leaves and a whole lot of grass, but that's what they eat. That's how they get their protein. And they are, you know, you see their biceps and their legs. I mean, they're gigantic. But it was just funny because in the movie, the way he kind of laughed at a joke, you know, he said, you know, "I'm going to feed you to my children," and they all were like kind of very scared. And then he chuckled and said that they were vegetarian. And it was really deep because you have to understand that if this African nation is up in the mountains and it's winter, because you could see it snowing, you could see the mountain, you could see it was snow on the ground and on the mountainside, you could see the snow. But even with so, they, you know, there's many countries that are up in, you know, who have more winter than they have summer. And they will prepare their vegetables and their fruits and vegetables or grass, whatever they have to eat, they will preserve that to eat it all winter when, you know, it's snow on the ground and it's not readily growing. But that's just what they have to do, just like we need to prepare. Like Dave always says, better be prepared than scared. You know, you have to prepare.
A caveat to that information is, we live in a three-dimensional time and space continuum. What does that mean? That means that we actually have a body that consists in three dimensions. One dimension is called the etheric dimension. Another dimension is called the corporeal dimension. And the third dimension is called the astral dimension. Now, the reason why I mention that is because vegetables and fruit have the natural enzymes to edify all of the dimensions. And a lot of times we have no idea what all is being done once the food goes in the body. But as long as the body can identify the food, and I keep pointing that out, the body already knows how to distribute it, how to utilize it, and how to make it nutritious for each level of, for each plane in which the body is actually functioning on. Because, see, when you sleep, yes, your body's still functioning, but it's functioning on a different plane. And we have to understand that we must be wise enough to choose the foods that are going to keep us neutralized, meaning full of nutrients, and drink water, because it is the electrolyte, and literally it quenches the need on every plane. And it is important that I emphasize that water is a highest percentage of any liquid, mineral, or supplement that is in the body. It is a necessity of life, the elixir itself. Thank you, Ms. Davis. I'd like to add that.
And I do want to add for the Bible scholars that are perhaps on this call that God in the Garden of Eden, now these are for the Christians and the Bible scholars, in the beginning of creation, he created the Garden of Eden. And there's a scripture that says in Genesis 1:29, it says that God has created every good seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seeds in it, they will be yours for food. Now, he's very specific to say every tree bearing fruit. He even talks about the fruit that has seed. Now, some of these fruits don't have seed. Well, let me just finish this up first. See, there's also a Bible scripture in Revelation. So we went from the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. Let's skip all the way to the end in Revelation 22:3, and it's talking about Eden being restored. And the heavens are there for our food and for our healing of the nations. So to heal the nations, God has even created, the food has to do something with healing the nations. The leaves, the fruit, the seed bearing, all of that has something to do with healing. And, it, you know, for the Bible scholars, now these are two scriptures that it doesn't say anything about the cow or the meat. It doesn't say anything about that. Now, at the time of the creation of the whole Garden of Eden, of course, there were animals and there were fruits and vegetables and trees and such. But he didn't talk about eating the animals. Now, I'm just going from what the first book of Genesis talks about. And the last book of the Bible in Revelations talks about that fruits and the vegetables and the leaves being for our healing. So there's a correlation there. There's a balance. Because most of the herbs do come from the fruits and the vegetables and the leaves and the bark of the trees. And,
Tell it, Sister
you know,
Davis.
I'm sorry, there's a call?
I'm sorry, I just had to say, tell it, Sister Davis. No, go ahead, Sister
Davis. Oh. It's right there, you know what I mean? It's all right there. Now, he doesn't say, oh, well, you can eat it or you shouldn't eat it. You know, that's something that you have to look at how you believe or how you want to live your life. But he does talk about the seed-bearing plants. Now, let's talk about seed-bearing plants for a minute, because now we are understanding, maybe for convenience purposes, that now they have these fruits and vegetables that don't have seeds. First on the agenda that we could kind of got past us, but one of the very first fruits that don't have seeds is a navel orange. they're from Florida or California. The Naval Orange, that when they came out in the mid-60s or so, late 60s, that was like revolutionary, that you had this beautiful, beautiful orange with nice thick skin that you could just take your thumb and just peel it back. And as you eat the slices of the oranges, when you quarter them, you know, because they all kind of break apart, there's no seeds in it. And it's sweet. Oh, sweet as candy. We didn't even pay no attention. We just kept eating them, you know, didn't even. Next on the agenda, here comes the grapes. Those green grapes, you know, for years, you know, as kids, we just eat the grape and spit. And we're outside. I'm surprised we don't have a whole forest full of grapevines, because that's all we used to do is just spit the seeds on the ground, you know, and keep it moving. Some people would just chew the seeds and just keep it moving. So they started to eliminate the seeds and the grape as if it was a convenience. Not for them. Oh, but now, you know, you don't have to spit the seeds out. You don't have to take your fingers and remove the seeds, you know, from your mouth, as if they're doing us a favor. Then they started picking on a watermelon. I mean, we will not even entertain a watermelon and we open it up and don't see no seeds. Because them little white seeds, that ain't stained seeds either. They gotta be black seeds, or we don't even entertain it. Because guess what? How are you going to reproduce something after itself if it don't have no seed? Now, if it has one seed, they consider, oh, there's one seed. One ain't good enough for me. I don't know about y'all on this call, but no, that's not the process. That's not what God intended or the great creator intended. Now they're coming out, the next one that they're going to attack are avocados. If anybody here, and we're real avocado folks over here, now, they feel as though, let's create an avocado without a seed so that when you cut it in half, you don't have to dispose of anything. It'll just look pretty sitting on the table. Wouldn't that be convenient? No. That is something created from the pits of hell, for real. Because they created it in a Petri dish. They took X, Y, and Z and doing another little bit of ABC and a HGI, and they created its own little thing. It doesn't create after itself. Who knows where they even grow? No. I mean, an avocado without a seed, and if you notice, for the people who do eat avocados, the seeds are starting to get smaller. Because sometimes back in the day, you used to get a seed that was almost, you'd be like, where's my avocado? Where's my green stuff? Where's my meat? Because, you know, meat of the avocado. Because it seemed like the seed would take up so much space. Well, now the seeds are getting smaller and smaller. One time, about last week or so, I had an avocado that I cut in half, and it was a very noticeably smaller seed. And that's how they just start eliminating things, slowly. They don't do it overnight. But now when you go to the grocery store, it's almost impossible to find a global grape. They're the only grapes that have seeds. They're called global, and they're really, really big. And they are very sweet, they're very fragrant, and when you open them up, there's usually 3 to 4 seeds inside. And they're very meaty, and they're very expensive because they're big and meaty, and they are twice as expensive as those little green grapes. And that's just, you know, they figure, well, we'll make them so expensive that if the people who really want them, they're going to have to buy them. And they'll probably count them when they get home because they're so expensive, as where, you know, eat the green ones. And now they have red ones that are seedless, and now they then invaded my Concord grapes because we're from the Northeast. And if you're from the Northeast, you don't have a summer. You don't have a summer without a crisp, cold Concord grape that kind of just makes your lips pucker. It's the good kind of pucker, not the sour kind of pucker. But I'm telling you, now about 2 summers ago, I had, you know, every summer or so you get that taste for that summer stuff you want to eat, as you remember as a child. I couldn't find them for almost the whole summer. Well, you know, they don't really start harvesting until about the midsummer, July and into August. But I couldn't find any. When I did find them, they were seedless. I just stood there at the grocery store and just stared at them like, how dare they? There should be a law. And, you know, it's sad. And our next generation, they might not know what seeded plants and vegetables are, our grandkids or our children after that. They might not know what that is, along with pencils. They won't know they are either. But believe me, it's sad. It's actually sad that they are taking this out of our being. Now, let me just go back and talk about the digestion process one more time, because there's a real key thing that they're doing also.
Sister Davis, may I add one more thing before you go on?
Yes, go right ahead, sir.
A lot of what is going
right
on
ahead,
in
Sister
this
Davis, you got a caller in queue. You also have a caller
okay.
in queue.
I do that. A lot of what is going on or how it is going on and why it is going on is because they've given us a perception of money and they've given us the value for it, one. Two, they market everything to us. So if you see it on TV, they're luring you with what's called a Hoboken switch. They're like, oh, yeah, we run in specials on grapes, and they're 59 cents a pound. And when you get in there, you find out this is a seedless grape. It's not something you eat. But yet, if you went to good old Global's, they're $3.59 a pound. So literally, they know what they're doing. It's called marketing. And if you don't do your own due diligence, you will be victimized by it. Okay, Dan, we'll take that call to send you. Hello.
Sorry, I was muted. Thank you, Brother Davis. Thank you, Sister Davis. I just wanted to add some info to what you guys were just saying about the seedless fruits. And peace to Dave and Scotty and everyone else. I just caught the last little section. 15, 16 years ago when I first moved to Harlem, I was on 125th Street, and I had we had a Pathmark. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but they're out of business now. And I had a bag of bananas. And then I walked past this little old man, and he told me, don't eat those bananas. He had an accent, a real strong accent. He told me those bananas were fake, so I thought he was crazy. And then he pointed to some little bananas that the guy on the street vendor had, and he said, those are real. So I never thought anything of it. So years later, I found out that little man was Dr. Sabi, and I bought those little bananas. And they had seeds all inside of them. So I think bananas might have been the first fruit, because I never realized that they had seeds until that day.
Yes.
So that was one thing I wanted to say. Another thing I wanted to say was I work at a job now, and one of my responsibilities is to get fruit and prepare it for the office. And they have these little honeydews now. But the honeydews have the skin of the cantaloupe now. It's rough and rugged, like feeling one of those world maps where you feel the mountains and stuff. It used to be smooth, so they're also doing something to the melons. I mute my line. Thank you.
Yes, brother. I do want to tell you about you are absolutely right about the bananas. You are absolutely right. And the fact that you even had any type of communication with Dr. Sabe, rest his soul, because we'll have to have a Dr. Sabe segment on the Tando Show. And not only Dr. Sabe, but a lot of other holistic doctors. We just lost a holistic female doctor. I apologize, I don't know her name, but we just lost her the day before yesterday. She was found with a stab wound in her chest. And she was a world-renowned holistic doctor that I think she had some... She was dealing with, I think, vitamin 17, B17, working with autism. And she was, you know, right on the banks of a cure for autism based on B17, which is one of the B vitamins that nobody talks about. And she was found dead. And there's a whole list. There's about almost 24, 25 holistic doctors, including Dr. Sabe, who are now deceased based on truth. Not based on lies, but based on truth. But that banana, you are absolutely right. Because now, if you notice, now when we were growing up, you could smell a banana across town. I mean, bananas are so fragrant. You should be able to, anybody who pick up a banana, even if a child at school would have a banana in their lunchbox, and you didn't have a banana in your lunchbox, you were like, my mama didn't give me no banana, and you looking for the kid with the banana because you could smell it in the whole lunchroom. You knew what child had that banana. That's how fragrant they were once upon a time. They are not fragrant right now. As a matter of fact, one time my husband and I were in the truck together, and in between the truck, between the seats, the front and the back, there's a really thick curtain that's like Velcro so that the other driver that's not driving has, you know, like total darkness and some, it's sort of soundproof. And I was eating a banana. And I said to him, I said, well, honey, you want a banana? And he was like, oh, yeah, I'll take a banana. And I said, oh, well, I had just ate one. He said, you ate a banana? He turned around and said, you ate a banana? And I said, yeah. He said, I didn't smell no banana. And I said, you didn't smell it. And it just makes you understand that these bananas that they are creating now are not fragrant at all. Now, there is a little banana that's on the market. If you can find them, they're closer to real bananas. Like the brother was saying, Dr. Sabre said, don't eat that banana, eat this banana. There are these little small miniature bananas. They're called burl bananas, and they're half the size. They look like something that you would give a child. They're very small. They're about 4 or 5 inches. They're half the size of a regular banana. But you eat them one time, and they're usually very expensive. And we buy them every chance we get. The only certain stores have them, and sometimes I go and they're not there. And they're small and tiny, and they're very, very sweet. And I think I saw on the internet at one point, and anybody on the call could kind of Google it. If you Google ancient fruits and vegetables and you see what they look like, you'll be almost terrified. When they show you what the ancient melons look like, the grapes, the banana, the ancient banana was basically all seed. You basically peeled it and ate the seed. That's how big the seeds were. And when you look at them, they show you about 20, 25 different fruits and vegetables, and they look almost alien. You look at it like they ate that at one point. And they don't even, you know, it's sad that they have just genetically modified everything over the years. Real subtle. Very, very, very subtle. Like I said, the first seedless on a plant that we were eating at least 25 years ago, or even longer than that, was the navel orange. And they were called navel orange because they had a navel but no seeds, which is crazy. But you know what I mean? So we have to understand that things have changed. Now, I do want to touch on one more topic, and then I'll turn it a little bit more over to my husband. Now there's something out here, and a lot of people don't quite understand what it is and what it isn't. It's called gluten. And I remember one time I was on a discussion panel, and this one brother, I guess he was kind of African, and he was like, oh, no, Sister Davis, you know, we've been eating breads all our life, and bread is fine, and, you know, we've been eating whole wheat grain and this and that. And I said, brother, I understand. We have been eating it all for generations, from the ancients up till now. But they are changing it. That wheat that we ate 50 years ago is not the wheat we eat now. It doesn't even grow the same. When wheat used to grow, wheat grew taller than corn. When you would see a wheat field, you'd be looking up at wheat because it was so tall. And that was before it was modified. Now wheat grows about 3 feet tall, and it's like wheat kernels on steroids. They have compacted it so genetically that when it gets into our system, our bodies go wacky. We cannot eat it. We cannot digest it, especially melanated people. Now, I'm not speaking for the whole planet, but especially melanated people. And the way that they are genetically modifying it, it's an attack. Just like the guns, just like the programming, it's depopulation 101. And please look it up. It's called celiac disease is the extreme disease that people get. People who get celiac disease, they about die. They if they don't realize that they have what they cannot eat, they will whittle away and die right in front of the whole family, and they're wondering what in the world's going on. They have all kind of celiac disease and any type of gluten conditions. The first thing that is attacked is the intestines. Well, that's basically all that it's attacked. It attacks the intestines, and guess what it does? It turns it into the inside of the intestines is like pus-like. They call it like a type of poison ivy. Like when you get poison ivy, your skin is rough, it's itchy, and it pus, you know, it oozes. That's basically what the inside of a person who is infected with gluten looks. That's what their intestines look like. But what it doesn't do is that it prevents the gluten, prevents the absorption of minerals and nutrients into the body. Now, when we were talking about digestion earlier, everything gets digested from the eye gate, the ear gate, you know, the nose, you know, all of that. The mouth starts to saliva, the stomach starts the acids, and then it breaks it down. You know, the liver pulls some of it, the pancreas, all the different organs pull what it needs. But when it gets down into, when the food itself that's left over, which is basically liquid, when it gets down into the intestines, that's the intestines' job are to suck up the vitamins and the nutrients. And that's the 52 fake out. Now the poor intestines cannot absorb those vitamins and minerals, and you pretty much die from the inside out of malnutrition. Now, when we think of malnutrition, you think, oh, somebody in India, somebody in Africa, the little kids that are laying in the dirt with the big bellies. Yeah, that's malnutrition. But also malnutrition is that obese person that's walking down the street, that body cannot absorb the nutrients that they're eating. And they might be vegetarian thinking that they're eating the best vegetables, but if it's got GMOs or if it has gluten in it, because a lot of vegetarians, hey, bread ain't meat. You know, pastas aren't meat. What's pasta made of? Flour, wheat. And it's just, you know, they have invaded almost everything that is sacred. Now, when we started realizing this gluten thing, I looked at my husband, I was like, oh my gosh. So we went on a gluten-free diet. Yes.
Let's hold it there. Woof, man, Sister Davis and Brother Davis, such a powerful, powerful show. You have a caller in queue, Sister Davis. Brother Davis says rise, but yes, we got to take our last commercial break.
Okay.
When we come back, just pick back up on the gluten diet, and then we'll start with rise. Go to rise, man. I hope everyone is taking notes and you have your questions and comments. Give a call because Sister Davis is absolutely right. The malnutrition, the empty calories, and the body not being able to absorb the nutrients for sustainability. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show on this Wise Wednesday. We have Brother and Sister Davis here for you to take your comments, your questions or comments. Give them a call, 704-802-5056. And we have a caller in queue. We're going to go to our caller now for Brother and Sister Davis. It's going to be Roz. Roz, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What says you, my brother?
Peace, Brother Dave. Greetings to King and Empress Davis, Thomas, and Scotty, everybody on the line. Interesting, because those little bananas in Trinidad, we call those figs. That's what we call figs. Anytime we hear a Trinidadian say, pass me a fig, it's those little bananas you're talking about. And a gluten, man, very powerful discussion. Ever since my father-in-law and mother-in-law have gotten Alzheimer's, I've been really studying that illness. I think somebody else is on the line. I'm not sure. Okay. So ever since my in-laws got Alzheimer's, I've been studying that illness quite heavily. And I remember I was watching a documentary on PBS, and there was a neurologist by the name of Dr. Brian Perlmutter. And his father died from Alzheimer's as well. And he, as a neurologist, he studied the disease. And one of the biggest, the two things he said, because he's treated over 10,000 patients for dementia and Alzheimer's and different variants of that illness. And he said the first thing he tells his patients is to cease all gluten and cease all sugar. Sugar inflames the nervous system, and because the brain doesn't have pain sensors, you do not know that the brain is inflamed, which is the major symptom of Alzheimer's. And almost every illness comes from inflammation and mucus production. The sugar actually agitates the nervous system, and then the gluten also does the exact same thing. So most people who have Alzheimer's, they tend to be consumers of heavy gluten and heavy sugar. So that is something you want to cut out. One thing he also said was that the human body is not actually designed to digest gluten, and therefore most types of wheat. That is something that's for hoofed animals, not for people, which is where this gluten intolerance is. And what he actually said is that everybody is gluten intolerant. They just don't tell you that. They'll say, well, some people develop celiacs and other people don't. But the truth is it causes the same problem with everyone because the human body's not designed to digest it whatsoever. And one thing I remember, he had told the story, there was these three Latino brothers that came to see him in regards to their mother, who was seemed to be rapidly deteriorating from Alzheimer's. Her memory was bad. She had impulse control issues, just really, really bad. And her personality started to change. And that's what he told them when they walked in his office, you know, stop her from eating gluten, stop her from taking sugar, having any sugar. And in about 2 weeks, they came to him, all three of them in tears, and said for the first time they got their mother back. Her memory started to return. She no longer was having impulse control issues. She seemed to be reversing as far as those symptoms were concerned. So, and that's just one story. He told a bunch because it was like a 4-hour PBS special where he was discussing his practice and Alzheimer's and mental illness and gluten and sugar in regards to their effects on the human body. So I just wanted to say thanks again for a great show. And I just wanted to put that out there so that other people will understand that too. And God forbid, if you have a relative with Alzheimer's or dementia or anything of that sort, that is one of the first things you want to do is change their diet. With my father-in-law, we completely changed his diet. He barely ate any meat whatsoever, except for when he was doing wound care, when he was healing with the bed sores. But outside of that, he was basically eating vegetarian with no sugar, no gluten, and he actually was in better health in his 80s than he was in his 40s. And all the pills he was taking in his 40s and 50s, he no longer took any pills at the end of his life when he passed away. Thank you all, and I'll mute my line.
And brother, I can believe exactly everything you're saying, because this gluten is just, it's the depopulation 101. That's all I can say, because it's in everything. I don't want to say it's in everything, but basically everything that's fluffy, tasty, any kind of cookie, any kind of pastry, any kind of processed, the gluten is in there. It's in all kind of pastas, so just think of all kind of noodles, and it's in all of that because it's through the flour. Now, like I said, when I was talking to the one brother that was, you know, from Africa, he was like, oh, no, sister, we've been eating it forever in Asia. Yeah, and I understand that, but they have changed it, just like we don't drive the same car that we drove 50 years ago. We just don't. And in 100 years, we ain't going to drive the cars we drive now. Everything is changing, and you got to look and see what the dynamics of the change are. Now, with the gluten, as soon as you – now, they have many gluten-free foods. Now, you still got to look and read every label because they might replace the gluten with something else you ain't supposed to have. But just think, the whole nation – is brought up with all kind of cakes, pies, donuts, what do you call those? Biscuits of all different shapes, pretzels. Because when I realized I had to give, when I was going to give up gluten, I was going to lose my mind. I said, "Well, I can't have a pretzel." Well, guess what? I eat rice pretzels. They are delicious, much more crunchy. Once we started with the rice pretzels, I ain't looked back since. And now, if I even eat something that is made with gluten, if I eat, you know, eat a cake or a pie or something, it just in my mouth, it feels totally different. The texture in my mouth, I can't even eat it any longer. We have been gluten free, honey. Would you say what about 9 months, almost a year? Since we've been, you know, really have gotten rid of all the gluten. Now, I buy gluten-free tortilla, you know, because if you eat corn, if you eat like a corn tortilla that's made with cornmeal as opposed to the flour meal, but you still got to watch it because sometimes they still throw the gluten in there because the gluten is like a binder. It's like the glue that it's like glue, gluten. It kind of binds everything together. And because everything that is processed has to have a certain shape or a certain size, it's got to fit in a box or a package, that's where they just dump the gluten in. And one of the ways that you can see a lot of people who have one of the different conditions that are along those lines are people who have any type of eczema, any type of serious rashes, any type of lung conditions like asthma. Those are all the outside reactions to the inside problems. Now, a lot of people have eczema. A lot of that's like the new thing on the block. Everybody got this rash going on. A lot of children have it. A lot of adults have it. Now they're running to get their hydrocortisone type of creams and put a whole bunch of creams on it to try to stop the itching and the inflammation. But guess what? Once it goes through the intestines and it ends up as the rash. So you have to heal the inside to stop that rash on the outside. Now, while you're healing the inside, it might feel good to put different creams and salves on it just to help it stop down the flare-up. But if you continue eating as a person has been, they will continue with the malnutrition. Actually, the eczema is the variation of the malnutrition that the body isn't getting, and it's creating a rash to say, hey, look, there's a problem, there's an issue, there's something going on. But people just go to the dermatologist, they will give them all, then they don't even ask what they're eating. They just say, well, put this cream on, take this pill, you know, and also psoriasis, all of those psoriasis, the psoriasis and the dandruff, all those different conditions that come out in the skin is a result of what the intestines are doing. Wouldn't you say, isn't that our research that we have done, Mr. Davis?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And another thing we want to point out is that all of this can be avoided when you take responsibility to do your due diligence. Why? Because you are being truthful with yourself. One of the two shows ago, we talked about a lesson, and the lesson was about setting your goals, making notes, adding to the notes how you felt emotionally, what your intent was, and from day to day, add more to it. The reason why was because we want you to identify your truths. When you begin to identify your truths, you become your principal, and that's what you need to do. And when you do that, you'll find that everything else you do will begin to focus on what is suitable and what you want, not what has to be done or not what you think needs to be done. Why? Because now you are knowledgeable. You are basing your decisions on your truth. So when you see that marketing advertisement, oh, these are the best melons you've ever had, and they're seedless, you already understand that does not fit in the foundation of what you are trying to do for your body and yourself. And literally, you're self-promoting at that point. And it's very, very imperative that we see this as our role so that we can set the example for our children, because this, they are what this is all about. All right, thank you, Ms. Davis. I appreciate that.
Now,
you got a caller, brother and sister Davis, the caller in queue from Seattle.
Yes.
Welcome,
hi, caller, welcome
to the Kando. Hey, what's going on? This is Hassan, Seattle. How you guys doing?
Hassan, what say you, brother?
Oh, man, it seems like I'm always dead smack in the middle of living what's being talked about on the show. But, no, I just, one thing you guys didn't bring it up, I suggest, because it's hard to keep up with all this stuff, man. So I just suggest that people do, like, a cleanse. Like, I'm doing a 10-day green smoothie cleanse right now. I just suggest people do cleanses, you know, every 6 months or even less than that. That's freaking the mess.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that and get that out there.
Yes, brother, you're absolutely right. A cleanse is great, you know, because it is difficult. You know, you go from day to day, you see things, you know, you watch Dr. Oz and he said, don't do this. And you listen to a radio show, you do YouTube, and you do get a little confused. It's like overwhelming. But a cleanse is always good. A cleanse of the mind through meditation, a cleanse through the body, through the different foods, well, the absence of the different foods. And you can even cleanse by not going to football games or things, that, recreational things. You know, you know, like you can also cleanse just from noise. You can cleanse from different types of music. And just taking the, you know, you being in control is what a cleanse is all about. When you say, brother, being in control?
Yep, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yep. Because a cleanse can mean many things, as you just broke down. So yes, exactly. There's all kind of cleanses inside and outside. So.
And that's right. Because a lot of people right now, because, you know, the Christians that might be on the call, you know, right now we're in the Lent season. You know, a couple weeks ago it was Fat Tuesday, then it was Ash Wednesday, and Easter's coming up the first Sunday in April. So a lot of people are doing a Lent where they give up something. Now, some people say, oh, you know, I'm not going to eat this, I'm not going to eat that. Well, some people need to give up that friend, boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, that's not being positive. Giving up could be anything. It doesn't have to be a fruit or a vegetable or a meat. You can give up, I'm not going to a certain area of town, I'm not going to go and drink a certain drink, maybe alcohol, or it doesn't even have to be alcohol. It could be soda. It could be coffee. It could be something that you know that's not positive for you, or something that you want to give, you know, that you want to modify. Some people could give up TV. You know, heaven forbid we have some of these kids give up video games. You know, maybe we'd be able to communicate a little bit better. You know,
right.
I know there's people that go out to dinner that they say, you know, everybody put their cell phone in a basket. And the first one who has the temptation to make a call, they got to pay for the dinner. Just so that we can have a sit down relationship with a group of people without everybody looking at their cell phones or taking a call or got to check in or chime in or whatever. It's that much temptations that now people put their cell phones in a basket and place the basket on the other table just so they can stay focused on each other. That could be a cleanse.
Yep.
You know, so we just, you know, some people could just do a cleanse of the opposite of just saying, look, I'm going to read a bunch of Dr. Sebe's books, or I'm going to do videos that deal with type of foods or a certain type of doctor's wisdom. That could be a cleanse, because right now the world is dirty. It's everything we touch is dirty, everything. And I'm not talking physical. It's, you know, it's just, you know, some days, you know, I know I've gotten in the habit with this food season, I don't touch no door. I use whatever coat I have. Sometimes I have these sleeves on my, you know, I'll pull my sleeve up, my long sleeve shirt, because it's cool, so you're wearing long sleeve shirt. I'll pull my sleeves out, and I'll touch a door or a doorknob. I try not to touch nothing when I'm out. And it might seem a little strange. I mean, I'm not OCD. I'm not, like, fanatic about it. But if I'm opening up a door or pushing a door, I try not to do it with my hands. I use my elbows. You know what I mean? It's a cleanse because I'm not trying to touch everything right now. And it's going to be a mindset. Just because it's flu season, guess what? It's always flu season. Flu season doesn't necessarily have to be in the wintertime. Flu season can be whenever there's a virus going around that everybody's catching. It don't, you know, a certain month doesn't mean anything. So we should get in the mindset to keep, you know, certain type of, well, we hate to use those kind of sanitizers because sometimes that's not really what you need to do. You just need to wash your hands more. And I tell all of our grandchildren, when you wash your hands, sing happy birthday to yourself because you could have another birthday because your hands are clean. Because you need to wash your hands for about 60 seconds. And generally, the happy birthday song, if you sing it at least once or twice all the way through, just a little melody, that's how long you should wash your hands. Most people get their hands wet and keep it moving. And that's not what hand washing is. That's one of the reasons why we're not addressing some of the viruses that are out here. Getting your hands wet, turning the water on and off and getting your hands wet is not washing. You need soap. You need, you know, some type of, I don't want to say antibacterial because that's really deceiving. But you need to wash your hands thoroughly and dry them thoroughly. And throw whatever you have dried your hands on away so that the next person don't touch that. You know, but as far as this gluten thing, there are many videos. If you really start looking into the gluten and looking into the diseases and the conditions, you'll look around and you'll see exactly who they're talking about. Like the brother that called in and talked about the dementia, how many older people got to have a biscuit, got to have a piece of bread? You know, it's just a conditioning that they've been conditioned. But what's sad about it is that same biscuit that they ate in their mind 50 years ago is not that biscuit that they're buying now. But they don't know that. It's deceiving.
So true. Hey, Sister Davis, we got one caller left, and then we're going to have to end out the show because okay. New Abolition Radio is coming up right next. Caller out of Missouri, you're on with Team Davis. What is your question or comment? We have 2 minutes.
Super duper hello to Team Davis. This is LSI calling out of St. Louis. And
hey.
Just got a chance. Hey. Hey, fam. Just got a chance to listen in. And as always, a wealth of information. But I had heard something about the, you know, these little hand sanitizers and stuff that we use. Somebody had said something about that they're, like you said, not cut out to be. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yes. Brother Dave, are you on the call? Are you still on?
Yes, I am, Sister Davis.
Can you just give a quick synopsis about the hand sanitizers? Because you got that
yes.
You got that down to a science.
Yeah, the hand sanitizers are antibacterial, which they actually cause your immune system. They handicap your immune system. They actually make you sick, and they make your immune system dependent upon that. And that's where you hear the term. Where you will not be able to, you're antibiotic resistant because you've been using so many, people use so much antibiotics, soap, this and that, so you can't use antibiotics, which you shouldn't be using anyhow. It should be only on rare cases that you use antibiotics at all. The best way to clean your hands and the best way to clean any surface, especially your body, is with silver. Colloidal silver or anything with a silver that doesn't have anything because it's antimicrobial, antibacterial, and it also fortifies your immune system. It makes your immune system stronger. Sister Davis, Brother Davis, great, great show as always. I hope everyone will pick up the podcast on this one. We got to get ready to get out of here as always. Much love, much respect. There's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. And we have coming up right after Tando Radio Show is going to be Max and Scotty with New Abolition Radio coming up. And they're in queue, ready to go. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you later. Peace.
All right. Bye. Peace.
Great show, sister
peace and
brother
love.
Davis. Peace.
Peace and love. Thank you.
Peace.
Peace.